Good morning. It is good to see you in the place of worship, and we worship God together. I'm so happy to see you. You are at the right time, in the right place with? Amen. Amen. We have a few announcements. This coming Wednesday, we will start a new Bible study at 9:30 in the church fellowship hall. This is the book we are going to study, Making Sense of the Bible. It will be 6 week Bible study. It's really nice. So if you are interested in, you can talk to me or Steve for 6 weeks in the morning, Wednesday. It's really nice. And in the bulletin, you may find an insert, Midwest Mission Distribution Center. Every year, as we have the annual conference, we are collecting, as a conference, collecting many supplies for mission. And in this pandemic, we cannot have in-person annual conference, so we are collecting in many sites, collecting sites. Our church is a collecting site for our county and surrounding counties. So you may find the insert some items we are collecting, so please read it. If you are willing to donate, you can bring it simply. You don't have to go and travel to another church. Come to our church, our office. And it's summer. We need to have fun. We have some fun program for kids 3 times during the summer. The first one will be on June 17th, but the registration due is tomorrow. So let your children and your grandchildren know about this program. It's going to be really fun. Drawing and some fun activities. So please let them know and talk to Jamie Schwingle. Jamie Schwingle or me. So please let them know and have fun together. Okay? Yes. I can see we are Methodist. We love to sit in the back side. Most of you sit in the back row, but next week you can come close to me. Okay? We love to sing. And we love to eat, right? So on the last Sunday of June, we will have hot dog Sunday. After the 10 a.m. service, we will have hot dog prepared by Men Power Men's Group outside around the gazebo area. So please remember that. It's going to be great. I miss that. So it will be great. So loose coin for this month will go to Reynold Wood Christian Camp. Our youth will go have fun at Joy Camp. And this month we will support Reynold Wood Camp with our loose coin and our prayers. So please remember that. And today our liturgist is Mary. She will lead us in our worship. Let's gather our mind and worship God together.
Good morning. Please stand as you are able and join in the opening prayer. Creating, loving, and healing God, we gather together this day, coming from different places and situations in life. In faith, we fall before you in praise and worship, desiring to be fed with your love and healed with your grace. Fill us with wonder, O God, that we may proclaim your good news for all to hear. Open up our ears, our mouths, and our hearts this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn is This Is My Father's World, number 144, verses 1 and 3.
This is my Father's word, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, from me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's word, I rest me in the thought, all rocks and
seated. We just sang the hymn, This is My Father's Word. It's beautiful outside, right? You can see sunshine out there and beautiful. But it's also the season of allergy. I mean, yesterday and 2 days ago, I felt really fatigued and drained. And what is going on with me? What's wrong with me? Am I getting sick? Or only this morning as well? Oh, maybe it's allergy. My eyes are burning and my lungs are burning. So I think we need to be careful if you have allergy. We have a few people who have birthday during the week. Today is Dave Abel and Brad Graves. Do we have Brad? Okay, so Doug Brenda, oh, he's over there. Happy birthday tomorrow, yes. And Michelle Drew and Renee Maurice and Dave Fredericks. Dave. He's on his trip, right. He's in Georgia. Happy birthday. And we have two couples during the week who have wedding anniversary. Tomorrow is Craig and Jessica Tristan, and Friday is Don and Tracy Durrell. Congratulations. I hope you have a wonderful anniversary. It is my joy to see you in person, and we worship God together. And I also... Kelvin Jacobs, he came home yesterday, and he's going to have another operation so soon, so please continue to have him in your prayers, but I'm so happy he's home. And there are people whom we have been praying for, so please remember them in your prayers and support. And if you want to share your prayer request and share that with our Wesley families, you can email me or you can write a note and give it to me and we can share that. And please continue to have one another in our prayers. And we are really happy. We gather in person because we are vaccinated. We live in a much safer areas. But outside the United States, there were so many people. It's still wild. So please remember that. Not just the virus, but also many conflicts, war, and battles. They can use our prayers. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's pray together. Loving God, we have gathered in your name, God. We are here to praise you and worship you and focus our mind on your love and care, your presence in our lives. God, send us your Holy Spirit. Restore and renew our mind and give us wisdom and courage to come close to you every day. This morning we share our joys and concerns, spoken and unspoken, because we believe in you. You listen to our cry, you listen to our prayers, and you know us by our name, and you love us. For that we give you thanks. This morning, God, we pray for the church in every place, so many places. God, wherever people gather in your name, you make us able to listen to you and one another with an open heart. Give us your unity and replace our brokenness with reconciliation. This morning, we also pray for the leaders in our community and the country and the world, for the president his cabinet, the members of Congress, and the leaders in many places, many countries, especially for the countries and places in trouble and conflict at this time. We remember them, God. Israel, Palestine, Afghanistan, Bolivia, and many places in conflict and war. We also remember the people suffering from all kinds of injustice, brokenness, or illness. Especially, God, remember the people whom we have been praying for. And for the people whose well-being we hold in our heart. You know each one of us by our names, God, and our needs. Cover us with your tender love and care, and help us to find your healing and empowering hand. Remember each one of us and our needs, and help us find you, your presence, your healing hands, and give us your strength and courage so that we may be the hands and voice of yours. Lord, we need you. We need you every day. Be with us and help us be with you. With all our hearts and mind, we pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. Let us sing together, Fill My Cup, Lord, page number 641.
Verses 27 through 34. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man, living in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stuff, for I am famished." Therefore, he was called Edom. Jacob said, "First sell me your birthright." Esau said, "I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. We are having a sermon series on Jacob these days. In order to understand this story well, we need a little more background story, background information about Jacob and Esau. So we don't know exactly when Jacob lived, but it was probably between 1700 and 2000 years ago. I mean, before the time of Jesus. Yes, it was a story long, long time ago, about 4,000 years ago. We don't know exactly when he lived, but we know where he lived. The Bible tells us he lived in the land of Canaan. So I want to understand again, these stories were written down hundreds of years later. And when it was written down, the Israelite and the Edomite, the descendants of Jacob and Esau, they were already dwelling in the place, in the land. And this is the story not only about two people, but also about two countries. So let's take a look at the map. So when you have some idea, okay, let's look at this one. Look at this. Here is the Mediterranean Sea, and here the modern-day Turkey, and you see Canaan at the time, and Edom. If we come closer one, so here you see the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River flowing to the Dead Sea, and here Israel and the red, right? The kingdom of Edom, the red. They were close. The land of Edom was made the descendant of Jacob's brother Esau, and the Israel. They were the descendant of Jacob. So now I want you to understand the relationship between these two people. As we are talking about this story again and again, it explains why Esau's descendant had a poor piece of the land, and Jacob's descendant has a better one, a better piece of the land with flowing milk and honey. And it also explains their tension between two nations. And I want you to imagine the rivalry between them. Sometimes they were good neighbors, but some other times they took armors against each other. And by the time of King David, Israel people subdued the Edomite, and they made them their slaves. So this is the story of these two people and two nations. With that in mind, I'm going to continue this story of Jacob and Esau. The verse right. It is a famous story. So until it was written down, these stories were handed down orally for more than 450 years. It was like a story fathers and mothers told their kids. It was meant to entertain them and teach them. Teach them about their identity and what it means to be human being before God. And this is what we are trying to understand. So here is the story. Once Jacob was cooking, Esau came in from the field. He was famished. You can see the picture. Esau said, "Hey, bro, it smells really good. You know what? Give it to me. I'm really hungry. I'm starving. Give it to me." Then Jacob, "Oh, wait a second, right? Sell your birthright. But before that one, we find something fun. Esau said, "That smells really good. Give it to me. Give that red stuff." red stuff. I'm really hungry. You know what? Red stuff. Esau was the father of the nation, the Edom, kingdom of Edom. And the word for red in Hebrew, it was Edom. So it was like Esau saying, let me have that red Edom stuff. Edom stuff. So his descendants were called Edomite, red people. You get it? So his descendants, they were named after a bowl of stew, a meal. So we may see, yeah, some of you are smiling. You may see a sense of humor in the Bible. Probably Israel people, they were giggling a lot. And they were saying to their children, you see, that's why they were called Edom, red people. Their names were named after the soup. Then Jacob said, okay, then sell me your birthright. Esau replied, come on, bro. I'm starving. Do you really think that I care about that one right now? I'm dying. Give it to me. You have everything. Give it to me. Jacob said, swear to me before I give it to you. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Let's take a pause. What are they talking about? The birthright. The birthright was the share of the inheritance the firstborn received. So today, we divide up and inherit everything equally between all children. But in those days, the oldest child, the firstborn, got the double portion. So if there were four children, they should make five portions. And the oldest one, the firstborn, got the two-fifths, and the rest of them, one-fifth. So in this story, Isaac had only two children. So with these two children, he should have made three portions of his all inheritance. And Esau would get double portion, and Jacob, one portion. And selling his birthright, it means he's giving up the half of all his inheritance for one meal. Just imagine that. Who's going to make that stupid decision? For one meal. Okay, we have Esau. It kind of explained from the Israelite perspective why they had a better piece of the land and why the Edomite had a worse piece of the land. And here is what we are meant to recognize. This is the story first about the need for instant gratification. Some of you know about marshmallow test. Letting kids wait for a minute not to take the marshmallow, whether they are patient or not. They spend all the stuff they are selling, future or not. So instant gratification. So when they were telling this part of the story, the Israelite, they might teach their children, think about the future. Think about the future, not just the present. So Esau might have thought, you know what, grandpa, he lived a long life. He's still there. He's still alive. And father, he lived only the half of my grandfather. So he's going to stay with us forever. Why do I have to care about that right now? The birthright, give it to me. I'm starving right now. He wants it all. He wants it now. So the picture here in the story is like, kids, think about your future, not just living in the present. And we may go back to the question, who in the right mind is going to sell their birthright for their instant gratification today? Well, I think a lot of us, and many times I do, we decide we want it all and we want it right now. About a week ago, many of our Wesley kids graduated from college and high school and middle school, and six of them graduated from their high school and then will go to college. So let me tell you about college school loan. Many college students got a loan for their school tuition. Yes, it's a tremendous help. They invested for their future and they would be able to pay back later. But some of them borrowed a huge amount of money, not just for their school fee, tuition, but also for their living expenses. Their fancy new laptop, brand new cell phone, clothes, and even their car and housing. Many years ago when I went to school, many friends of mine did that, so I was like, dude, friend, you don't have to do that. You don't study all day. Go work. Make money for housing and some stuff. But now I have heard from a few of them. One of them said, Paul, I still have to pay $700 every month for the next 15 years. And one of them said, I have to pay $2,000 every month until my retirement. Oh boy. And what about credit card debt? We have so many people around us struggling with that right now. We want it now, and we sell our future birthright for a bowl of stew right now. And this story, the story of 4,000 years ago, it is still relevant. It keeps speaking to us how we may live our lives. And Esau's story tells us what he had not to do. Selling the future. What is it in your life? And Jacob's story also tells us something not to do. Let's think about this again. What kind of sibling says, okay, brother, I will feed you if you give me the half of your inheritance? What kind of person is that? I feel like, come on, Jacob, what are you thinking? Are you kidding? So Jacob was willing to take advantage of his brother and anybody. So his brother Esau was hungry, and Jacob is going to hold this over him. And what we are learning from this story, in his early age, Jacob lived primarily for himself. Me, me, me. This selfish guy took advantage of his brother. Do you see that happening around you? A friend that I know, he has two sons. Let's call them David and Daniel. It's not real names. So David was 9 years old, and Daniel was 5 years old, the little one. One night, my friend came home from the church, and David, the older one, was playing some game in his room. He didn't come to see his dad, but the little one ran into my friend, greeting. And this little baby, little boy, had a little ball. You know that. You may know the ball. When you go to a grocery store, you put a quarter in the machine, twist the dial, and receive a little small rubber ball for 25 cents. I love that. I enjoy that a lot. So Daniel got that little ball. So my friend said, honey, where did you get the ball? And he said, David sold it to me. Really? So Daniel just had his birthday, and he had a certain amount of money. So my friend said, really? He sold it to you. So how much? How much did he sell it to you? $10? $10, son! You could have bought 40 of them for $10. The little boy. So my friend ran upstairs. David, what were you thinking? Did you sell this little ball to your brother for $10? Yeah. What were you thinking? Well, he's willing to pay. And you know what? We don't rip off our siblings. We don't do that. We don't take advantage of people. And he doesn't understand how much $10 worth. So Daniel, little one, kept the ball, and he got his $10 back, and David got to groan. This part of Jacob's story, it is to teach children that the world does not revolve around them. And you don't do this, you don't do this to people. You don't take advantage of other people. It is not something you can or cannot. This is a part of what we learn from this story. Isn't it something we know about fair trade and human dignity and equal human rights movement? You see, the Bible, this story from 4,000 years ago, still speaks a lot to us. And it is very relevant in our very lives, even in the 21st century. So let me just wrap it up today. We will talk about Jacob and Esau's family dynamic, Jacob's cheating on his father, and result of the cheating next week. And we will move on Jacob's new name, changed by God, the moment this trickster became the father of Israel. But during the week, I want to encourage you. I want you to ponder this story. Are we like Esau, who sold his future birthright for instant gratification and pleasure? Are we missing anything? Or Jacob, a trickster who thought the world revolved around him? What does this story speak to you? What is it that is happening around us? And what is God speaking to you and me? Let's think about that. The story of Jacob and Esau, 4,000-year-old story. It is still relevant. It is speaking to us, and God is wanting us to be a right person after God. It is still truth. And the promise Jesus made 2,000 years ago, it is still truth. It is powerful and compelling. As we share the bread and cup of his blood, it becomes God's promise and the source of our life. Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and the people who join us online worship from many places. God, bless each one of us and bless these precious bread and wine. Make them the body and blood of Jesus Christ so that as we take them, make us the body of Jesus Christ redeemed by his blood. God, help us find you. Help us walk in our lives with you. Help us move by your will. Amen. Please peel the first layer. Take the bread as a community. And peel the second layer. This is the blood of Jesus Christ we share as a community. Let's take it. I forgot to talk about this invitation card. You may find some of them in the fellowship hall. You can see over 20 people's smiling faces. And it says, "We Wesley gather for worship and ministry with love and care in Christ, 8 a.m. service, 10 a.m. service. If you want to bring it and give it to your friends or family members, you can take one." And the office sent about 100 invitation card to many of your house, so you can see that. And on the back side, some of the programs we have, information, you can find that. In the bulletin, you may find so many meetings, a couple of meetings, and another ministries. And I'm so happy. We are getting back together and finding a new normal in our time. We are striving, we are moving forward. Together, I find God's hand in our community, and we find God's hand in our very lives as well. And we are grateful for all the gratitude for God has done in our lives. This moment, let us present ourselves, our mind, and our time, our talent, and our resource to God. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer of dedication. Receive our thanks, O God, for your gifts of life, means, and time. We treasure your offerings, and as we return these offerings in gratitude for your love, welcome it for the sake of those in need and for the furtherance of your witness in this world. Make us daily more grateful for all we have been given, our life, time, family, and all we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms," verses 1 and 3.
What a fellowship, what a joy to find, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Leaning, leaning,
safe and secure from all alarms.
Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
What have I to dread? What have I to fear?
Leaning
on the everlasting arms,
I have blessed peace with my Lord so near.
Leaning on the everlasting arms,
leaning, leaning,
safe and secure from all alarms.
Leaning, leaning,
leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. We talked about Jacob and Esau, a lot of things to do. No, not to do. Cheating story, instant gratification, a lot of choices, decisions. Oh God, what do we do with that? But we have the answer. Leaning unto God, everlasting arms. And the Bible says, God says in the Bible, don't be afraid. Trust. Be strong. It is the word we say, Amen. Amen. Please be in an attitude of prayers and receive the benediction. As we go into the word, God, we trust in you. This moment, we believe you restore us, recharge us, re-strengthen us, and guide us forward. So now, may the God who made you, loved you, and lives with you, bring you to a faith that cannot be weighted down, and God gives you courage that knows no bounds. As we go into the world, God will go with you today, tomorrow, and more. Amen.